The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to another episode of Throw Down Your Questions. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Don't go there. Don't go there. It's that way.
See you guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Goddamn Game of Thrones, man.
Brett Murdoch.
God, goddamn indeed.
And Adam Vale.
It was like a novella.
Oh man, by the way, before we start, HBO Now, fuck your boy over, man. I was in that bitch at 9:01 ready to watch it, and the app was like, we're not working right now, come back later. Like, really, man? Get the fuck out of here, man. Like, I'm guessing that HBO Now must have been getting pounded harder than like a flea bottom whore tonight. You know,
fucking, you know, I've heard about this having a problem. I have not had the problem and that problem at all, and I stream mine through my Amazon Video subscription, so
I don't know where y'all are getting kidnapped. You got freaking switches in front of storefront windows nobody wants to buy.
Hold on a second, I could have watched a shit off my, because I have Amazon Prime. I didn't know I could watch that shit off that.
You'd have to pay for it though.
Yeah, my subscription is through Amazon.
Yeah,
as opposed to through my cable service.
I do that with Stars to watch Ash vs. Evil Dead.
I do that for Showtime to watch Twin Peaks.
Showtime. You know, all right, man. A couple of things before we start here. We are still doing the Sonic Mania Collector's Edition contest, man.
Yes, we are. And I can't hear anything for some
reason. Yeah, I don't hear
anything. Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Like 80s porn music. What
Dude,
the hell?
Not, that is porn music, son. That's baby making music right there, man. All right.
Yeah. Sexy box.
That is some baby making music.
All right. Yeah.
So we got the video up there, which details everything. Basically, subscribe to the channel here over on YouTube. Then head over to our Twitter at Throwdown Show and retweet the pinned tweet. Simple as that, man. We were going to announce it. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's that baby making music, bro.
You want some of this Sonic Mania?
And I'm gonna
independent.
We will ship the shit anywhere on Earth, man.
Even Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska, but you motherfuckers in the International Space Station, we ain't shipping it out there. So sorry.
Wait, is there anybody still up there?
Yeah, probably the Russians are still running around, you know.
The Russians,
I know what they did. They retired the Mir satellite. The International Space Station still exists.
Yeah. You know. All right. So there's that, and then you know. Again, I got to keep pounding this. Remember, okay. If you're watching this show after we've gone live, leave us questions in the comment section on YouTube or over on the Coalition. If you're watching us live, start hitting us with some motherfucking questions, man. All right, and with that, let's jump into it. G Megaforce 123 is becoming the new Final Stage boss, since Final Stage boss is on vacation, apparently. I don't know.
Final Stage boss is going on his spirit quest right now.
You know, I'll tell you guys some shit off air, man, about Fern Gully. He's hitting me with some shit, man. All right. So G Megaforce, his first question is, does it scare you that the Switch has been hacked already? With the news of the Switch being hacked and the finding of a bug that allows for access / registration / unregistration to of any device, are you worried? Will the Switch go the way of the Dreamcast? Why does Nintendo have such poor security?
Because they're Nintendo.
Yep, the 3DS has been hacked for the longest time.
The Switch was fucking hacked. like the week it came out. So it's not
it's not the OS that they're using or whatever, you know, that they've already broke that door long ago. That with the what is it trip they're using to get inside of it?
OS is BS, man.
And they're using the Tegra or the Tegra architecture.
They're using an Android derivative. The reason it got broken is because they loaded an old version of Chromium in there, which is the engine for the Chrome browser, and they never changed it. So it's an old version that had been hacked to pieces. And when somebody got the switch, I forgot which hacker got it, and he realized, like, oh, I can just exploit the system through that. Boom, made a rootkit like that. So it's just, they were just sloppy shit. This is their problem every time. This is how the Wii got homebrewed. That's how.
It was Zelda that did that.
Twilight Princess allowed the first rootkit to get made for the Wii, and you got homebrew. So this should be no surprise to anyone. I'd be surprised if someone didn't break the Switch.
you know?
Yeah, that'd be the opposite.
You know, like for the 3DS one.
Why would it scare us is my question.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think it scares anything.
I think he's worried that, you know, then the sales of the games will drop and then nobody will buy the games.
Look what happened with the PSP. Like, yes. As soon as somebody broke that thing, it became twice as in demand as it was. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, hold on, this can be an emulator machine? Like,
Or the original Xbox? Like, that thing.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, as soon as that shit dropped, they broke that thing right open. So, I mean,
put a hard drive in it. What? Got an Ethernet port? What?
I wouldn't worry about it. The Dreamcast was in a unique position because it couldn't play media or anything. So there really wasn't. It couldn't be multi-purpose. And like Brett pointed out, the PSP, it was multi-purpose. Like, once it got hacked, people are like, "Yo, I got my porn portable." You know, they went crazy, you know. So that there's no problem with that. Like, they're gonna put emulators on the Switch and do all sorts of stuff. And I don't know about game sales, but the hardware will keep selling if it is capable of way more, and these hackers start exploiting it.
And I mean, also let me add about the Dreamcast. You know, also you got to remember that it wasn't America that killed the Dreamcast. It was Japan, and the fact that they were not supporting that anymore, they didn't know what to do with it. It's the reverse what happened to the Sega Saturn, where America wasn't supporting the Sega Saturn, and that's what killed that console. So it wasn't really the fact that they hacked that thing open, because in fact after its initial hacking, a lot of the people started buying those shits left, right, and crooked, because you could easily do these things.
Yeah. So I don't think there's anything to worry about if that's what the question is. You know.
The thing is, can Nintendo fix this? We don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. All right, so we'll move on to the next question. Another Nintendo-related question from Mr. G Mega Force. All right, why doesn't Nintendo make cartoons about their games anymore? Remember with Super Mario Brothers, Super Show, and Legend of Zelda? I thought those were pretty fun cartoons back in the day. I'm sure loads of people would love to watch some Nintendo cartoons today. In fact, they could help with advertising and make some older series more popular. So yeah,
I can answer that question for you. Uh-oh. And it all has to do with a wonderful movie called Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, shit.
Back in the old days, Nintendo was a little bit more open with their property. Essentially, they just, you know, license it out to a company, the guys who made the Super Mario Super Show and all those other different things. As soon as the Super Mario Brothers movie came out, if you notice, after Super Mario World, they kind of just pulled everything back in, because they didn't want that sort of situation to happen, because having a shitty ass movie hurts their product.
Yeah.
So they play every single one of these moments as close to the chest as possible. So that's why they've been very, very, reluctant to give out their license too much. Which, though, there's talk of a Netflix Zelda thing that's been talking about forever. So
yeah, that's coming.
That might be the next thing to get people to go back into. But yeah, they're very, very. They're very, very cautious about these new.
Those old shows were not as good as you thought. Think that they were.
No, they're actually, like, you watch that old Zelda show, that's a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, I remember watching that on Super Mario Super Show and just being like, oh, fuck, Zelda. Ah, excuse me, princess. Come on. Captain N was kind of awesome, but Captain N was like, it was like everything was retarded world because everything, it's like Mega Man's in it, but he doesn't look like himself. And, you know.
He sounds like he has emphysema.
I've got emphysema, Mega Mega.
All right, I think you pretty much answered that question.
I do want to say, when it goes bad, it goes bad. Just like we've explained, when it goes good, like Pokemon, it also goes bad.
You want to hear something though? Pokemon is actually not an adaptation of the. It's an adaptation of the game, but it's really all an adaptation of a comic.
Yeah,
I was not aware of that.
Pokemon was a comic before any of the card games, any of the games. In fact, the guy who designed Pokemon is still, he's the, you know, one of the heads of Pokemon Company.
Well, that's Creatures, Inc.
Yes, Creatures, Inc. Sorry.
That's the part portion that the comic.
Yeah. All right. By the way, I want to give a quick shout out to JW, who's in the chat room. He's actually in Houston right now, brother. Woo!
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah, he says it's been raining for 3 days. Free race crumbling. Infrastructure is all bad. Damn, son. I hope you're all right, man. Hey, listen.
Are you catching flounders in your basement?
Shit. Hopefully. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's watching us, so he's safe at least. So that's good, man. Right. That's a good guy, man. I talk to him on Twitter all the time. All right. Moving on here. I moved this question up to the top of the queue since it's relevant, since we're still on my Nintendo. My man, SoDep1. All right. Should Nintendo buy Konami?
No.
Somebody should.
Somebody should.
You know, I mean, I would say the best people to buy Konami would actually be Sony.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd agree with that.
That would be
Sony.
Sony
would at least dust off a bunch of their old fucking franchises. Be like, Bloody Roar, we need a fucking fighting game.
You know, and let's be honest, if Sony were to get it, Metal Gear would be back in Kojima's hands.
It would be back in Kojima's hands. I mean, the question is, would they want to put that much down for? Like, to just buy the games division of Konami?
Exactly. We're not buying all of Konami, just the games division.
We're not. Konami, the rest of Konami makes a shitload of money. That's why the games division suffers so much. It's because, like, hey, slot machines make more money than video games.
You know?
Was it health clubs make more than video games? That's where their shit comes from. So it's like, okay, so let's buy the game. Let's buy all your franchises, all the game division, and just restructure.
You know who I want to see buy Konami?
Who's that?
Kojima.
Kojima.
Ultimate revenge, man.
You know?
Just
would never sell it.
Bet it all on the farm. Bet it all on the farm. Like, sell all your assets. Like, sell through all your contracts. Make as much money as you can. Get a fucking loan. And buy Konami. Fire your old bosses. Take Metal Gear back. And just start printing fucking money.
That'd be insane. But yeah, Sony would be in a good position to do that, man. Because Kojima's already there. So it would be perfect.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, he has ultimate trust of those Sony guys. Like, you know, like, he's always, like, even in the past, he's always been talking about, like, hey, I have the Sony thing and blah, blah, blah. Never see any of the Xbox. He'll show up on the Xbox stage, but you're constantly talking about Sony stuff.
Yeah.
You're, like, talking about the Walkman and all that other junk. He was definitely a Sony fan. So, I mean, that's why him moving over there made sense. Nintendo, like, if, I don't know, Nintendo buying them just at this point in time, they're not at that level.
I don't think that's a good fit either.
I don't know what they would. I feel like Nintendo would just kind of take the things that they like they'll pull off Bomberman and all the little cutesy things.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Take all those things and just kind of like, yeah, Castlevania.
Like, no. Yeah, let's get a new Contra. Like, eh.
Even yeah, like, but you guys made Contra. Like, think about it. Like, Contra became big. Let's just be honest, because of Nintendo. Same thing with, like, you know, a bunch of Konami shit. You know, but I can see.
Yeah, I mean, they owe a lot. They owe a lot to Nintendo, but at the same time, I could see Nintendo in Wii era.
Yeah.
Possibly buying, Wii era buying maybe last year's Konami. You know, the one that's the fired Kojima, the one where they were losing money.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, Sony would be a good fit. All right, so let's move on here to Mr. Black Metal Gamer. All right, so his first question is, how different do you think, this is a funny one, by the way, how different do you think Xbox One would have been if Don Matrick stayed? Would it be for the better?
If he would have stuck to his guns, no. Absolutely. Everything would have been still a mess. We still would have had the Kinect, and we still would have had all that other shit that they were trying to do with the TV networks. Remember, they were trying to get that off the ground and their own productions. So he would have went. He would have pushed all his chips in and says, "No, we invested. We're all in on this." So it just would have been down. They needed to stop the bleeding and go in a new direction.
So, I really think that the sad part of all that stuff is they really didn't need to focus on any of that. They could have went the gaming route and said, oh, hey, you could do all these awesome other things that we're setting up with this too. But no, it became about TV. And that showed that he did not have a connection to the core audience of the Xbox brand.
Yeah.
Rather than showing people a bunch of really awesome games in that first initial press conference that they did, they just said, "Hey, we're doing TV now." Wait, weren't you a game console last generation?
Remember, the whole thing with Xbox One is the reason it's called Xbox One is because it's your one stop for everything.
It's,
you know,
it's the all in one thing. But again, at its core, it's a gaming console.
Yeah, I think they lost sight of that. Yeah,
and they lost sight of that part. It can be the all-in-one box, right? But the thing is that if you don't start selling the gamers on this thing, you know, Grandpa Moses and Dad are not going to be watching this shit and be like, "Oh, I want to watch football on my Xbox." They don't give a shit. They'll be like, they turn the TV on just like my father, most other people's dads, and be like, "All right, I'm watching the game on cable."
Well, we had a question like not too long ago, like about grading Phil Spencer about what his grade would be. I mean, my grade would go down, like from what we've been getting. Like, I don't like, yeah, Don Matrick is fucking ass backwards when it comes to video games and how you should sell a system and how you should like launch a system. But has Phil Spencer really brought Xbox back? Like,
yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because that's what I was thinking. It's like, okay, if you would have asked us this question like a year or two ago, we would have said, yeah, dude, Don Matrick needed to go. Now I'm like, Phil Spencer is not really doing that much better either.
He's still making changes. We have the Slim. We got the S, you know, and we got this.
That's just hardware.
Where's I understand, but he's still trying to work on that. I mean, look at all the other games that he canceled. Obviously, he canceled them because they were shit. He could have just let them drop out and then get horrible reviews and then make everybody look like shit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we're in the know, but majority of people that don't follow, like, they don't know if these games got canceled. They don't even know they exist. They're like, oh, they were working on something? Whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean? So, I mean, what they do see is this hardware. So they're probably thinking, oh, well, if you build it, they will come. He's building these amazing new hardware. So obviously they must have something planned. I mean, I think a lot of people think that. I mean, look at the pre-orders. People went and bought this shit. So
yeah, but you know how people are, though. But here's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. And those people see something that isn't there. We know it's not there. The games aren't there.
There's nothing there, man.
They see hardware, so they think they must be there.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, since, you know, we got to take it all in totality, right? We know Phil Spencer's not really doing much, so is he any better than Don Matrick?
I think that's a valid question to ask now. But we don't know. We don't know really what's going on. We don't know if he's making new deals. I mean, we know new games are coming out yet, but we don't know the deals he's working on.
But I feel like, did we, like, okay, with all the cancellations that he did at the time, do we, you know, like, you got to remember, like, it takes, like, 3-4 years to make a game.
And that's what he said, too. He says in 2 or 3 years, we're going to have new games. Like,
in 2 or 3 years, we're going to have new games. But to be honest, to fully cancel a game like that Dragon, what was it, Dragon something or other?
Scalebound.
To cancel a game like that, a game that literally would be launched around the time of the Xbox One X, which could have been one of those killer apps on the thing. A game that was... support from sources have said the game was pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that this is not important?
It must have been pretty bad. That's a lot of money lost, though. That's a lot of money. Think about it. Like, we're just hearing that. Think he still has bosses. He's not the top guy. He still has other people that he's going to say, yeah, by the way, you know, we put, like, what, 20-something million so far in this? Yeah, that shit's not coming out.
Well,
that was horrible.
It's not just scale-bound. Like, what happened to Fable?
Yeah.
Why'd he cancel that? 90 over 90% completed. He killed it.
Got to be a reason.
Yeah, so, I mean, they took down the whole studio.
Yeah, there's a lot of money.
The whole studio's gone now. You know,
I have an idea of what happened to Fable, and that's they drastically changed the direction of the series and pretty much alienated all of the fan base. And then when they wasn't looking like it was going to sell, instead of a disastrous launch, they just decided to pull it instead.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes launching something rather than nothing at least shows that they're trying.
Well, all right, so let's say if that game came out.
Yeah, Record came out. That game was a piece of shit.
That's what I'm saying. Man. Let's say the Fable game came out, and then, of course, Record, and then Scalebound, and all three sucked. Then everyone's like, damn, Xbox went down the shitter. They're releasing crap games.
I mean, at least they have something to play.
They have games. But
at least they have something to play. Maybe these people would never bought it, so then they weren't going to play it anyway. They're going to look at the reviews and stuff, and their sucker friends that did buy them are like, damn, you bought that crap? I mean, look at what people are saying about Record.
No, hey, you can build upon those things. Like, Knack wasn't good, but they're getting a sequel. We know, Knack 2 could be good.
Franchise. I mean, yeah, there's stuff that comes from – I mean, look at Killzone. Killzone's terrible. They get another chance. They made Horizon. Okay, so you never know what will come out of, like, a failed attempt or – shifting direction, or when you let a studio get creative. So like, if Microsoft let 343 just not be the Halo studio, this is why they lost Bungie in the first place.
So why do we praise Blizzard for this shit, though?
Why do you what?
Why do we praise Blizzard for this stuff? Like, they've brought multiple games almost to near completion and then bagged them, and we all kind of give them
I don't know.
Brett, like, you're looking at WoW guys. Us in here? Nah. Fuck them.
Nah, you know, put the shit out instead of not having any games.
I feel like that game could have been one of those killer apps that shows off the power of this thing. Instead of kind of depending on Crackdown to be that thing, which Crackdown got delayed. Crackdown got delayed, and then not only that, so what do we have that'll go along with this thing to show it? What, Forza?
Gives a shit, you know.
Car game. I mean, listen, I love the way they did. Those cars look amazing. You know, they're all shiny and they got all kinds of textures and shit on there. That's impressive. But at the same time, I think that also goes toward a specific audience. It's like, okay, you can make cars look good. So how do we? Well, let's talk about some people.
You know,
I have a theory. Tinfoil hat theory, basically. First of all, the reason I think Fable was killed off was because that game, I think, would have effectively damn near ended the franchise. It was in a, it was too far a
departure. Wasn't the last game already trying to do that?
I mean,
dude, people love Fable 3.
But it ended the franchise anyway. Its death ends the franchise. Like,
either way.
Yeah. They killed Lionhead with no game. Instead of releasing a mediocre game, they killed it with nothing, you know?
Yeah, but don't they still own the IP? Couldn't they bring it back if they wanted it to, even without Lionhead?
Yeah, they're making like a shitty card game or something.
Yeah, it's Gwent. They're making Gwent out of Fable. Like, that's not what people wanted. They wanted another Fable game.
No, and I'm hoping one day they will make another Fable game. I think with the change of the guard, essentially, I don't think Microsoft is honestly worrying that much about this generation. And not to say that they've given up or anything like that, but effectively they're okay, we're talking about we'll see games in 2 to 3 years. Okay. So they're committed to being okay playing the long game. They're not necessarily trying to push a whole lot of consoles, they're just trying to please their fan base until they can get some games out there. So in 3 years, what do we have? We're gonna be coming up on the horizon of the next generation. How long has PS4 been out? 4 years now? 3 years?
It's going to be 4. Yeah, this year. It's going to be 4.
Okay. So we've already established that 10 years was pretty long for a console generation. A lot of people still maintain that 10 years was pretty long for last time. So if we can go by the idea that this will be an 8-year console cycle, in the next 3 years, they may as well push off stuff to launch their next console or have something that goes with both their high-powered, you know, upper-end Xbox and their new console. So I really think that they're taking steps to make the most successful launch for the next generation. I don't, and that's not, again, that sounds like I'm saying like, oh, Microsoft has just called it. They've quit the game. They're going home. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that they've realized that there's, and everybody with two eyes can recognize this. The greatest chance for a power shift is between console generations. So I think they're biding their time and starting a lot of programs, probably putting their resources into what they're going to end this generation with slash launch next generation with. And that's all going to be tied into the plans of the Xbox One X, I think.
I mean, Brett, that's just wishful thinking, though. Like, they haven't really provided anything. Like we always talk about before every, like major press conference Microsoft has, like, people are always saying, oh, well, like, they must have something. They must have something to show. Like,
oh, no, I'm not saying that they don't have anything right now. I'm not saying that they have. I think that's what we're seeing right now is when we saw Don Matrick leave and everything seemed to change, like a lot of games got canceled. I'm pretty sure other games got started in development, but it's going to take a long time for that development to come to fruition, like I said. And so what I'm saying is that long development time probably coincides with the end slash beginning of the next generation. And so they're kind of – the way that they brought the Xbox One X, like it doesn't seem like it's going to be an X factor until – you get to the end of this generation slash the beginning of the next generation, and then you'll be able to see games that only run on Xbox One X and the new console. I'm still convinced that that's the way that they're going to do it, even though they said that that's not what they're going to do.
The only way I would have agreed with that is if Microsoft had a lot of first party development studios. Like, they don't. We know what studios they have, and we already know what they're working on. Like, either they're going to get like third-party deals or something that we don't know. That's the only hope anybody ever has for that, like for them to release something that we don't know is going to get released.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on here. This is a fun one. Follow up. Okay. If you were all the cast of a JRPG like Final Fantasy, which class would each Throwdown member be and why? This is a pretty fun one. I'm going to go to Brett since he's Mr. Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, man. Well, there's two different ways to answer this, to approach this question. First one would be everybody calls out what they think they would be. And the second one would be that we all decide what everybody would be based upon the current traits. So whichever way you guys think is more fun.
I don't know. How do you guys want to answer it?
Yeah, just go around, just each one.
Yeah, I already have my answer. I know what I want to be.
I'd be a mage because I'm a motherfucking sorcerer. I love fire.
You know,
every game I play, you give me a chance to throw fire at stuff, I throw fire at stuff. Even if it is not the most appropriate. Even Dark Souls 2, when they nerfed the shit out of Pyromancer, guess who is still a proud Pyromancer? This fucking guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the punch guy. I'm always the fighter guy. So and all you guys doing your fancy magic and you got your sword, I got my fists.
There you go. The monk. You know, that's the monk class.
I'm fucking Fuso Yao, whatever his name is, right? No, Yang. That's what it is.
Yeah. me, I'm the barbarian guy. I don't want any fucking magic, any of that bullshit. Just give me a big fucking sword and let me kill shit. That's all. That's me. Barbarian class, man.
I can attest to this from his D&D experience.
Right, I'm going with that. As a matter of fact, you know, because Final Fantasy didn't have this race, but if it was just a regular RPG, I'd be a motherfucking dwarf.
Yep. Tony plays best as a dwarf barbarian, and he plays an amazing dwarf barbarian.
Yes, and it's funny because originally, Brett, when we started playing, I was like, I had magic and shit, but it didn't really gel well. And then, I don't know who made this say, it's like, Tony, you're a fucking dwarf now. It's like, and it worked so beautifully. I didn't have to overthink anything. I'm like, okay, let me just go over there and kill shit. It was glorious, you know?
Yeah, that was because we were playing with Clay, and both of you were just belligerent, angry, had no nuance. Like, these guys did not like put any points into diplomacy or anything like that. And so we ended up making them like two quasi idiot dwarf brothers, like just drunken, angry. Like, you keep them in the wagon if you don't want to get like, in trouble.
It's like the bushwhackers of D&D.
Yeah, so pretty basically much. Every situation was basically like, okay, what am I going to drink or what am I going to kill or what am I going to fuck? It was easy. I loved it. You know, so yeah, I'm going to be a dwarf fucking barbarian. But if it's regular Final Fantasy, I guess like the warrior class, I guess. I don't know. There's a fucking class.
Final Fantasy is one of the worst examples for JRPG.
Let's just go with RPGs. Skip the J part. Skip the Final Fantasy. But let's just go with RPG. I'm a fucking dwarf with a battle axe, man. You know, and I'm drunk all the time. Big ass beer too. You know. All right, Chris. What about you, man?
I'd be a knight. That's easy.
Paladin.
No. Paladin has to be lawful good, I think, in D&D. Like I want to assassinate people. I want to go Charles Bronson sometimes. So you gotta be like, I can't be bound by the law. I have to go vigilante. I have to go rogue. You know, sometimes New York needs to be cleaned up.
You know,
I've played enough enough Souls with Chris to also say Chris enjoys when people try and hit him, fail, and then he laughs at them before murdering them.
That laugh right there.
Yeah, exactly. So I can see Chris being like, armored knight, go ahead, take a swing.
Awesome. Crom laughs at your four wins.
All right. You know. All right, Carlos, man, what about you?
I think I'd be like a rogue assassin or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, I like to like stay in the shadows and sneak up on people and just fucking obliterate them.
Sweet. All right, Adam, what about you?
Well, I would have to go in or out from my Diablo. I'm a necromancer, you know, and just, you know, White Walker, bring them back. Go. Kill.
Oh, yeah.
No point. What's your point? My goal is to kill everyone and bring them back and have them help kill more.
Your old D&D character was a crazy necromancer, wasn't he?
That's it. And even when I played, Magic, the Gathering, you know, Swamp Walk, that was it. That's it. I had a whole black card.
I'm right there with you. Just raise them up. They're expendable resources. Kill them. Raise them back up.
Uh-huh. Hey, Brett, quick question. Please tell me you have some healing spells. We need a healer in this bitch, man.
No. I'm always an offensive
We're the
only healers in the dream world.
I guess we're the aggro team then. You know, there's no healer
here. I'm a priest, man. Being that I'm the punching martial arts master, I only have this one chi move that heals myself.
Yeah. Yo, well, what happens when we get poisoned, man? We're fucked.
Listen, man, I'm just gonna drink all my woes away.
Well, I mean, you know, knowing myself, I would probably stock up on all kinds of crazy shit. Like, oh man, yeah, I need this.
We could buy heals. We're good. We can buy heals. We're good. We ain't about the healer shit, man. We want to kill. You know, throw down, man. The most dangerous podcast on earth.
And then I remember when I did make my D&D character, I did give my character the ability to read and make fires. I'm like, hey, you need those things? I was a berserker that could read and make fires.
Oh, Colby would be our healer. Colby's a really fucked up healer.
Okay, so get him. Ooh, Mr. Barry Byrne, he's always here every week. He rarely asks questions. He's asking us a question this week.
Whoa.
How's that possible? All right, we'll get to that a little bit later, but let's move on here to the artist formerly known as Slashling and Slasher, who now calls himself Brett Soapbox.
Oh, no.
Also related to Final Fantasy, what are your thoughts on the announcement of Final Fantasy 15 going to PC? We told you so. We told you this was going to happen.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
Like, you know, the thing is, people make it about, like, why is that a big deal? We told you that shit was going to happen.
It was going to happen. Yeah. Like, that crazy fucking engine that they made for that thing, they spent so much goddamn money on that thing. They're like, okay, we're going to make this stretch as long as we can.
Exactly. And that engine wasn't just built for PlayStation. It was built for everything.
It was built for everything. So they're Square is not Square is only exclusive for a limited time now.
You know, expect to see that engine in Final Fantasy VII, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I heard that they're using Unreal on it.
They're using Unreal for that one, actually.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that engine, I was going to say Decima, Luminous Engine, right? It's only for Final Fantasy 15, which is weird, you know? Every other game on Unreal 4.
You know, the thing is that, like, what's happening with that engine is because there was so much time spent on making that engine, it was probably not enough time to get other games fucking started.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Fuck it. We're using Unreal. It looks nice.
Yeah, that is a nasty engine. You definitely want that shit on PC so it can look crisp, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm buying that shit, man. I can't wait, you know?
You roll up on Digital Foundry. And we tested it against something else.
You know? All right, man. Next question here. This is a good one, too. all memes aside, the ability to customize your Xbox controller straight through Xbox or straight through Microsoft is really cool, at least in my opinion. Would you like to see PlayStation do the same thing? And would you make and buy a custom controller for PlayStation if you could? Yo, this controller is the shit right here, right? The Xbox custom controller. I made it, you know, has like, you know, I still made it dark and stuff, but it has like custom shit. I don't know if you can see it, but it has Rami Def on it, you know. Maybe you can see it a little bit. I love this shit. I would love to have a PlayStation equivalent of this. I could make your own PlayStation. Yeah, fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Do that shit, man.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I mean, I mean, even when it was first announced, you know, when Microsoft was doing it, I mean, it is a really cool idea. I mean, granted, I do wish it was a little bit more than just kind of aesthetic things like making, you know, changing colors and stuff. I do wish you could change stuff like the D-pad and, you know, incorporate some things from the Elite controller. I would like to do, but yeah, it's a really cool idea.
PlayStation needs an Elite controller, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, definitely. I don't think anybody here would disagree with that. We would love that, you know?
Cool. Yeah. I disagree for the most part. I think it's kind of unnecessary.
Why?
Of course it's unnecessary. It's just fun to do.
It is unnecessary, but it's cool. And Brett, I thought you liked custom shit, man.
Yeah, but like, why? Okay.
If you could literally change out a bunch of things that you didn't like about the controller, like the way the analog sticks work, or even a bunch of other things, I would think that would be a cool idea.
No, that would be a cool idea, but we're just talking about vanity stuff like print. Like, if you're gonna go custom, how about instead of, you know, choosing from one of 12 colors or, you know, small things here and there, like go for a full custom made vinyl skin for your controller. It protects your controller. It looks really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper.
I actually still want to buy another one of these. I fucking love it. You know?
I mean, I got a Doom skin for one of my controllers that's pretty fucking boss.
Badass. You know? All right.
I also vinyl skin my PlayStation. So, like, when everyone's like, oh, I got a white PlayStation. It's like, I got a kill PlayStation.
Oh, you know, shit. So,
yeah, it's easier than people expect to be able to customize your games and your controllers and your accessories and all that stuff. There are sites out there who, you know, have everything measured down perfectly, and you can actually pull in and drop in your own art or any art that you find. You don't even have to choose, you know, what exactly what design you want from any pre-made designs. You can literally find any design or commission somebody like Manny to design you a custom controller skin, and then get that, you know, printed and mailed to you. It's like $8 or some shit like that. And then you truly have something custom. And here's the reason I feel this way, folks. You know, I'm a tattoo artist by day. So people come in with tattoos from Pinterest all the time, and they're like, oh, can we add one more bird to the top of this? And I just want to scream at these people, that doesn't make your tattoo fucking custom. Coming in and changing 10% of something doesn't make it custom. If you really want something that is just yours, really make something that's just yours. And honestly,
Have you ever been able to sell anybody on those things? Because I know – like how people are, where they just see something, like they see this tattoo that this one artist did specifically for somebody else, and they're like, I want that.
I don't do those tattoos. I always tell people, like, that is that person's tattoo. I'd be happy to, you know, and I take a very intricate approach with a lot of people where we'll sit down and I take what I call the optometrist approach, where I take a series of different images with different elements in them, and I hold them up right next to each other. I say, would you like A or B better? A or B better? And we start to pick out the design elements of, you know, whether they're what style they're looking for to begin with, you know, whether they're jumping out at textures, at shapes, at flow, at stacking, how much skin tone they like, that kind of thing. You're able to discern not just what they want, but the different elements that are in it. So I always talk people into, look, we can take this image, deconstruct it, purify it down to just the stuff that you really like, add your own personal flair, and then reconstruct it to be its own image just for you from the ground up. And that kind of translates to me with, for the same thing. Like, I don't consider customizing something, putting a blue face plate on the front or slapping a sticker on it. You know, it's if you want, you know, a custom backpack, then you go to the nines and make it, you know, fully your own. Just like both of mine and Rachel's PlayStation, neither of those were even you know, it's even down to, you know, like Dark Souls kind of thing. Like, I never wear a full set of armor. I have to wear one piece from each set. That's the rule, because you can't have the pre-made stuff because it just isn't as special. So when we made our custom skins for our PlayStation, like, we went and we found images, our favorite images that we liked, paired two that we thought really worked together because of their similar style. They were both kind of splatter printy. And then we uploaded them and got them printed off. So I am, as far as I know, the only person who has this PlayStation. Rachel is the only person who had that type of PlayStation. That's real customization right there.
I got you.
So it's already an option for all of us, and it's honestly a lot cheaper. And again, a vinyl skin is going to protect your hardware. So you get more options for a cheaper price with a better result, and the extra bonus of protecting your system. I don't really see a downside here. So it's not that I'm against customizing your system. It's just that I think that there are much better ways to do it.
Gotcha. All right, man. We'll move on here to Mr. Barry Burton. He goes, okay, I'll increase this party's XP with a question tonight. This is a doozy too. What are your top three must-have third-party only N64 classic games? I can't answer this shit because Superman, right? Superman 64. One of the worst games ever made, you know. GoldenEye, right?
No, WCW NWO.
Yeah.
Or
No Mercy.
Or No Mercy.
Yeah,
No
Mercy. Adam, why didn't you say that? Are you alive?
Oh, I think.
Oh, I have my mic up. I did say it. I said it's only wrestling. I didn't realize I had my mic up.
Kristen says Rogue Squadron.
It's only wrestling. That's all I ever used it for.
Hey, speaking of Rogue Squadron. Oh, go ahead.
And I bought the adapter so I can play the Japanese version. Because the Japanese version had all these extra wrestlers and stuff. I forgot what the name of that one. I think it was like called 2000. It was just called Wrestling Something 2000. But yeah, that one, that was awesome too.
I even like the pod racing game. I don't even know, like, if I were to play that, I don't think it would still be as good as I remember it, but I liked it back then.
Wave Race was good.
Wave Race.
Yeah.
Rush 2049
or something.
How was, because I know at the time people liked it, but I don't know if it aged well. How was Turok?
I liked Turok.
It was a funny game, just how broken it was.
Oh, shit.
No, I mean, the mechanics, like, they didn't think about this, but you could outrun a raptor walking backwards.
What, like, dinos in it? Didn't like him.
Yeah, they moved as slow as everything else. Everything moved at the same speed.
Yeah, that's stupid. What about Doom 64?
I don't think I played it on the 64.
Yeah.
Because that game got like an overhaul, basically, you know?
I only played it on
My PC?
Yeah, Kristen says that Turok was a launch title, so it didn't age too well. Yeah, I remember people were like, yo, this game's crazy.
I just know what to avoid. Avoid Castlevania 64.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's fucking terrible.
The best Castlevania was the one that was on Super NES.
Four, right?
Super Castlevania 4 is good. Symphony of the Night is the best.
When they had the rotating room and you're on the hook and like swirling around. I always remember that.
Mm. Yeah, guys in the chat, you got to name third party games, man. You guys are naming first party games on the 64.
Mario 64.
Yeah, they're like, what about Mario 64? What about Diddy Kong? No. My guys.
Nope. Diddy Kong could be considered it because now Rare is a third party.
Shit. Yeah, that's right.
They were considered. It was like, was second party? Because that was the second party.
Yeah, I guess second party, but, you know, third party is shit.
Shout out to Final Fantasy VII, which should have been a 64 game.
Oh. Well, the only reason why that happened is because Nintendo said no CDs.
Yeah, right.
Crazy.
It's nuts. All right. Shadow Man. I don't know. Was that a good game? I don't know.
I thought Shadow Man
and Turok are both, Valiant characters. Turok not anymore. Shadow Man still is though.
Yeah. Well, really, Turok is not them anymore.
Nah, Turok, Solar, Man of the Atom, and Magnus, they were originally Gold Key characters, right? Mm-hmm. So they lost the rights to those. So when they brought back Valiant in 2012, none of those guys were there, you know?
Oh, okay. That's what.
I forgot. There's another company that's putting out their books now, though, you know?
Shout out to Pokemon Snap.
Oh man.
Pokemon Snap. Oh.
Moving on here to my man Egress, you know, Sergio Curiel. All right. So his question is, have you ever listened to a song that reminded you of a song in a video game? Or have you listened to a song that ripped off something from a video game soundtrack?
Oh yeah, remember in Chrono Trigger? There's a song that essentially is the Never Gonna Give You Up song. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
Yeah, but he's really asking more about the reverse. Like, have you heard an actual song from an artist? You're like, wait a minute. Like the example he played me was he was playing me a Nine Inch Nails song and it has the Final Fantasy theme in there. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? It was from one of those weird Nine Inch Nails albums I never heard.
It depends on what year. Sometimes you have to look back because it was the whole Johnny Cash thing. Okay, so we have to double check when it comes to that. Nine Inch Nails has been around a long time.
Yeah.
Let's see.
For me, not a straight rip. It's not a rip off or anything. But when I listen to this song, for some reason, I think of Zelda, like the beginning of Stairway to Heaven. For some reason, I just think that, man, that would have, like, that beginning part would have worked well in a Zelda game. I think it's like they're using either like a flute or a piccolo or something.
Oh, nice. Yeah, for me, this one's a little bit of a cheat, obviously. Pretty much any song from Dragon Force, you know. But the thing is, they purposely throw video game shit in there, you know. So that's probably why. But every time he's like, oh, look at that. Like, they're doing some video game stuff. Just pretty fun, you know.
Literally anything chiptune.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that's an entire genre of music that they're still making new music for. I'm not even saying like, you know, old MIDIs, like chiptunes. every chiptune, like, I want to say a third of them, I have this feeling like, is this a Castlevania song? I feel like this might be a Castlevania song. I don't think it is.
The reason I busted out laughing is because the truth says the song that reminds him about video games is the Throwdown intro.
Yes,
that's on purpose.
Well, we can tell you a little small story about that.
Yes, we can.
Me and Rachel were designing, having hired Mr. Daly to do the song, we actually gave him a couple of different things that we liked. So it was like, it's a mixture of Mega Man, the Metal Gear theme, and some Castlevania stuff, like certain things that I really, you know, that we really thought was cool. So we gave him a bunch of different things, and he kind of just interpreted that into the Throwdown theme. And little fun fact, the Throwdown Your Questions theme is actually the same theme, just adjusted and slowed down.
Yeah, when I hit him up, I'm like, listen, can you do a variation of this? And I didn't give him any instructions. I'm like, just do a variation of that. And this guy came out with magic. You know?
Yeah. So both Throwdown themes are essentially the same themes, except the Throwdown Your Questions theme is slightly adjusted. So it might be a slower version. Some notes have been switched around, but yeah, it's essentially the same song.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a chilled out version of the original. Yeah. You know. But it's a tough question because I don't really most of the songs I listen to don't sound like video games. Like, I listen to a bunch of hard rock, heavy metal, even though video games. It's funny. Video games remind me of hard rock and heavy metal, but heavy metal hard rock doesn't remind me of video games very much. You know, right?
I mean, I can't think of it because I listen to a lot of metal. Also, I don't ever remember feeling that.
Yeah, no. but it works in reverse though.
It works in reverse. Go play Spider-Man. Was it Separation Anxiety for Super Nintendo? It has Mob Rules in there.
Oh, shit. Like,
the main song. Yeah.
And then Doom, the original Doom had a bunch of metalish shit there. I saw a video that actually broke down like, oh yeah, this track was inspired by this song. This track was inspired by this song, like Slayer, Pantera, all that shit, you know? All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this? Cause again, for me, it works one way, not the other, you know?
Yeah, it works the other. I just, every time I listen to like Rusty Cage and stuff, I think of Road Rash.
Yes. Bringing it back.
Gotta get my Rusty Cage. Yeah.
I think about Way of the Warrior when I hear White Zombie, you know?
Find a way, double challenger.
If I hear Pennywise, No Effects, any of that stuff, I think of Tony Hawk.
Oh, man. All right. Okay, so the next couple of these are not official questions because we've answered these before, so we're just going to quickly answer them because I still want to give these guys a shout-out, you know?
Fire.
First one is Digital Tiger 777, who's one of the newer guys, so thank you for you know, come in here, but this is probably why he doesn't know we answered these before. So this is quickly go through them. If you could create a video game, what type of game would you make? What genre and what developer would you choose to assist you? All right, Manny, go.
A big open world, a horror type game.
That's what you want?
Yeah. And yeah, it's me, Mr. Open
World. That's what I'm saying. Manny, whose answer is that? That's not yours.
That's me. And I've always said this. I always wanted to have this world where it was like this. It was like if all these different horror genres existed in this one kind of open world, and you do these different missions, which, you know, get you closer to the final area, which is the giant evil castle. So yeah, something like that. And who would I get to do that? I don't know. I can't tell you. Because I don't know.
My answer, I'm going to give the same answer I gave before. The game I would create already exists. It's called Mass Effect 2. So that's what I would have created. BioWare, obviously. All right, Chris, what about you?
For me, I would want to make the ultimate Contra game. And I know Gears of War kind of like took that mantle. But I think I want a simplified game, more arcadey feel. But the look and feel of what Gears does, you know? So Contra, like, grown up with that's nice. What I want. Who I get to make it? Probably Platinum. Be like Vanquish, man. Like, super fast.
Ooh, shit.
Running shit. Yeah, that's what I want.
Nice. All right, Carlos.
So I would make a new Mass Effect game that will replace the freaking whatever we got.
Andromeda.
Yeah, because I said a Mass Effect game back then. So, it like, it's even more prevalent now that we need to make a new Mass Effect game. Because, man, this didn't cut it, man. And I would add, like, kind of like a Battlestar Galactica field. I would, like, add more ships, like, going all together, trying to get to a destination with, like different plots and all the ships, like, serving different purposes in the fleet. That kind of stuff is pretty intriguing. So I would do something like that.
All right, developer?
So it wouldn't be BioWare anymore. So
you can be like BioWare from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, do a time travel, get BioWare.
By the way, Brett Soapbox says Destiny, but with the old Bungie.
You could say Halo with cold the old Halo Bungie.
It's so weird that my soapbox has started speaking for itself. I guess I've just bled so much toxicity that, like gamma rays, it's just imbued with life.
You know? It has formed sentience.
All right, Brett, quickly, what game do you want and what developer?
Cyborg Justice.
Okay.
Does anybody remember that game?
No.
I do remember this game.
It was like a Double Dragon type game in which you built a cyborg out of custom parts. And throughout the game, you could like take like a buzzsaw arm and use it to saw off somebody else's arm or tear off somebody else's arm and replace it with your own. So instead of
that gear, was a Sega CD game, dude, right? Yeah.
Was it a Sega? No, it was Genesis. It was on Genesis too.
I don't remember that one.
And I would have it made by From Software.
Ooh.
Because tight control mechanics and an equipment system that alters your playstyle is exactly what would make a game like that awesome. Think about that. A Souls-type game that's not necessarily a horror game that's put in a cyberpunk-type universe, maybe even Humanity Has Fallen, and you're playing a cyborg that can replace body parts instead of armor.
Nice. Cyber or, by the way, the game was Genesis game, yeah.
It was also for Sega CD, too.
It's only listed here for Mega Drive or Genesis, mm-hmm. So interesting. All right, and Adam, man, what about you?
I would make an open world game, probably around 30, 40 hours long, from Rockstar, all about table tennis and the underground world. It would be like a Balls of Fury with like a crazy, you know what I mean? And like maybe have some of the elements of like Mass Effect where you get to select choices of what you do and what you say and what groups you link in. And it starts off where you're at a bar and there's some table tennis, you know, and a table in the back. And somebody's like, "Oh, you want to play?" And then it's like, badass response, pussy response. Badass from damn right, drop your beer, go out there, put a bandana on. They're like, oh, you know, you see everything in slow-mo, like, oh. You come out, you whip out a paddle that, like, expands in your pocket. Like, no! You know, that'll be awesome. That's what I want.
Awesome. All right, man. Let's move on to the next question. Again, we answered this before, but we'll just quickly go through it. What game or gaming series from past generations would you like to see get remastered or a current one? The same one I always say, Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver, bring that shit back, please. I will say this until it finally comes back. I'm going to will it into existence somehow. This is bullshit.
Anyway, you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
The Bouncer.
Yeah. Nice. Chris.
Platinum Games.
We don't need a developer for this one, just whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris.
Get remastered. There, come back to me. Circle back to
right.
me.
Carlos.
Oh, damn it. I was about to say the same thing. Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie. But that's on rare replay though.
Yeah. Damn it. Hey, that is bad. Okay, we'll come back to you. Brett, what do you want?
Pass.
You say the same shit you said last time we answered this question, you motherfuckers.
I'm trying to rethink it, man.
All right, Adam.
Mine's is easy. The Warriors.
The Warriors. The Warriors.
Redo that. Redo that. Think about it. With the tech that we have, we could have some awesome train fights. What? You know, have an all-out brawl in the park and stuff. So that would be awesome.
Is it a remaster or a remake?
Just remaster, remake, redo, make it fun. Do everything.
Do you remember the Warriors game from a bunch of years ago?
No, I still have it. I still have it.
Remake that shit. Okay, I got
it. But is it a question, remaster or remake?
Either one, it doesn't matter.
Either way, just make it. Just really, just redo it. Give it a good touch up. I mean, right now they just ported over the PS. Well, not now, but I mean, it's been there. The PS2 version got ported over to PS4, but it was also ported. It's the same port that's on PS3. It has trophies. You know, that's cool. You know, and that's why I picked it up again, you know. But, I mean, if not that, then Manhunt. You know, redo that with better controls. Damn, shit. Those controls suck.
Yeah. By the way, SoDep says F-Zero. What is wrong with Nintendo? Why don't they bring it back?
We talked about it. I told you. They like it.
I don't know, man. All right, Chris, you ready now?
Yeah, I rethought my answer. I'm going to say the Parasite Eve series.
Ooh,
Parasite Eve. There you go.
Very nice.
Well, the game that didn't even have a good Parasite Eve 2.
Yeah.
Shit. All right.
That second one stuck.
Carlos, you ready, man?
Yeah. Remaster Yoshi's Story.
Okay.
Cool. I love that game for the 64. A lot of people didn't like it. I really enjoyed it. It was pretty fun.
Cool. All right, Brett.
That's fine.
Remake Secret of Evermore.
Ooh.
Secret of Mana's coming. Oh, Secret shit. Secret of
Mana's coming, baby. Yeah, let's go.
I want Secret of Evermore, goddammit.
Stop it, Evermore.
I know they both have Secret, but every time I'm like, Secret of Evermore, everyone's like, oh, Secret of Mana. No! No! It's not the same.
Of Mana?
Secret of Mana is an amazing game, but Secret of Evermore is also an amazing game.
Awesome. But well, now since they did Secret of Mana, now you could do Secret of Evermore,
too. That might be hope, man.
That's the same reaction you get when fucking Brett talks about Samurai X and people bring up Ronin Kenshin.
No!
Different enough to kill you!
Oh, goddammit!
It's a different goddamn thing!
What about Illusions of Gaia? That was a good one.
Oh, man. All right, let's move on, man. My man, All Day Digital. So again, we answered this before, so we'll quickly go through it. If you could take any film and make it a video game, what genre would it be, and what developer?
Film, movies. Oh, didn't we say it the last time? Well, most film movies would probably suck.
Yeah. So what movie would you like make into a video game, and how would you know what kind of genre would it be?
I would. You know what? I don't think we said that. Oh no, it was like a video game movie. Right. It was
the question originally was like, what movie do you want to see a video game of? You know,
You know what would be kind of interesting? John Wick.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I was thinking that it was like Max Payne
reaction game ever.
I mean, come on, it hasn't been a good Max Payne in how long? So shit, why not John Wick?
Okay, no, it would just be Max Payne. True that.
Yeah, I got one for Chris. Last Action Hero.
Oh man, I love that movie. I don't care what anyone says. I was just thinking of John McTiernan also.
John McTiernan is fucking amazing, man.
You know, that'll be the day we lose him, man.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think I answered it originally because I'm like, whatever. Because the thing is, most movies that I would want in a video game have already been made into a video game, I guess. Like Terminator 2, but even though it wasn't a good video game.
Shooting One was cool.
I don't know. I don't feel like answering it.
I mean, here's the inherent problem with this.
I don't have an answer, to be honest.
It's easy. I have a bunch of them.
Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Escape from New York. Do that one. Big Trouble in Little China. That'll be another good one.
Most John Carpenter films.
You know what the problem is? every video game, every movie I would want to see in a video game has been made into a video game, and it's fucking sucked. That's my problem. Well,
we could assume for the sake of argument that it's not necessarily going to suck.
Like, I was going to say Predator, but you remember the Predator game?
Okay, Tony, let me frame it to you in a different way. This isn't a movie tie-in game. This is a game based off of an intellectual property that has existed in movies before. It has no tie-in to any movie being released.
No, I know that, but I'm like, again, every time I think about
Shadow of Mordor, it's not tied to the movie itself. It just goes off of that universe. And Shadow of Mordor was a damn good game.
Like, what movie you want remade? So I'm going like, okay, Predator, Aliens, like, we got those games.
No, it wouldn't have to be like a remake or a tie-in or anything like that. If you could take any film franchise.
All right, fuck it. A good RoboCop game.
There we go.
Someone in the chat mentioned Blade Runner, and I was thinking, like, obviously, like, the first initial
that was also a very good game, actually. If you guys never heard of that, I played that game, by the way.
I'm laughing because Barry Byrne says Gremlins 2, the new batch game.
The Blade Runner game is one of those lost fucking treasure games, man. Like, that game has alternate endings. They had the whole thing set up with replicants and finding out who is different characters or replicants. And each time that you played the game, a different person would be a replicant. So you had all these characters, and you had to figure out which one was the replicant by different certain things. It's actually a really awesome idea. And it actually was a really great game, but unfortunately, you know, as the years have gone on, it's one of those games that got lost in the mix.
Hey, by the way, Fast and Furious, I think we have that as a video game. It's called Need for Speed.
I mean, Fast and Furious has already been a video game.
So. Yeah. Here's a question I want to open up. Can we expand this into series as well? Because personally, I don't think you can compare an hour and a half worth of content to something that is generally at least 9 hours worth of content without it being a huge filler. Like, that's the reason I think a lot of
whatever you want, man.
Okay, so if that's the case, Battlestar Galactica would make a great game.
That'd be insane. They're trying to find out who's a Cylon and shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be like the Blade Runner thing.
Even though Galactica is not a movie, but I'll let it slide. You know,
so that's why I asked. Like, that's why I say, like, I can't think of any movies that would make great games, but I can think of a shitload of series that would.
I feel with a movie with a really good kind of expansive idea that you can kind of latch things on. Like, I think that I wasn't a big fan of the Mad Max game, but I can see a bunch of Mad Max games being made because the Mad Max world allows that sort of thing. It's like, okay, here's another adventure with Max where he's doing this, or here's another one with Max. Like, you could do stuff like that. And I feel like with movie worlds like that, like the Escape from New York world, maybe not. There's Borderlands. But, you know, maybe not Big Trouble in Little China, because then that would essentially be like a weird sort of sequel.
Yeah, but, by the way, Brett's Soapbox says Dune. Wasn't that a game too?
Dune?
Yeah,
Dune. Yeah, there was a Dune had two games.
Yeah.
Those are actually really great. Probably one of the best RTSs that you'll ever find out there.
That was before they made Command and Conquer. They made Dune.
Oh shit, there you go. Kristen says World War Z would have made a better game than movie.
The movie was kind of like a video game.
The book was great. I love the book.
The book was great. The movie was not even based on the book.
Yeah, it was kind of whack.
Make a game based off of Kong Skull Island.
Yes.
Play as Kong, man.
But wait, didn't that, I mean, there was already a King Kong game.
The one that threw barrels at Mario, or?
No, the one
from Xbox. From the Peter Jackson one.
That was
my first 4,000 on Xbox.
Oh, yeah. I never played that one.
Yeah, that was like one of the hottest games on Xbox, man.
That was the one that they're showing how great the graphics are in that game.
And that shit looked good back then, too, man. He was fucking up those T-Rexes and stuff, you know?
Essentially, it was like a big monster battle, so yeah.
All right, man.
Platforming sessions.
These guys are giving me shit in the comments because I don't read books. I read comic books, man. Leave me alone.
It's not the same. They're only giving you shit because you're saying it's the same.
I mean, listen, the point is, I was asked the question, do you read books? And I said, the only books I read are comic books. So take that how you will.
Hey, take some credit. You read all the Song of Ice and Fire
books. Oh, yeah, I read all those. I read
Lord of the Rings.
I could name all the books I've read in my entire life, basically. You know, I read those. I read the two Jurassic Park books. I read most of the Dresden books. And those school books like Animal Farm and shit, you know, read those. Yeah. Julius Caesar, shit like that, you know. But I don't.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, you know.
I never read that one. I missed that one.
Really?
Yeah, they never made us read that one.
I love that book.
It was always Animal Farm and Julius Caesar and 1984. Those were the school books.
And the Odyssey.
No, I never read the Odyssey. No.
Wait, you never read the Odyssey?
Nope. I've seen the movies though.
You've seen the movies, well. And you listen to the Symphony X song.
Yeah, there you go, man. Oh yeah, Great Expectations. That's another one they always made us read. Yeah. You know, yeah, those are all the books I read. So there you go. All right, and this next question, this one, okay, it's not an official question. I'm not going to add it to the show notes, but there's a little bit of weirdness going on. Okay, Gregor Von Doom, which is a new guy, so thank you for that. But you might be a little mixed here because he says he's asking a gaming and pop culture question. Okay, either he's being slick and trying to just get us to answer a pop culture question, or he's genuinely confused. I'm going to give him the benefit of that and just assume he's confused here. But let's read his question. So he goes, Sony owns the license for Spider-Man. He's talking about the video game here, right? And, you know, Sony and all that. He goes, I kind of believe a part of the deal for Spider-Man to appear in the Marvel Cinematic Universe might be related to Battlefront. Disney owns both Marvel and Star Wars. Okay, he knows that. Yet ever since the deal for Spider-Man happened to appear in the MCU in both movies so far, Spider-Man has been directly involved in a Star Wars reference, taking down Ant-Man, as he says, like that old movie, Empire Strikes Back, and in Civil War, and in Spider-Man, where he sees his friend coming home and he drops the Death Star. Both Battlefront games have had marketing deals with PS4. Is this a coincidence? Yeah, I think you might be a little confused here, dude. You know?
Yeah, it's a. I mean,
Disney
owns
both of them, so there's not a coincidence. They're just dropping hints in there. I don't think it has anything to do with Battlefront at all. You know?
Yeah. Here's the thing that you're forgetting. It's not that Marvel gave Sony the rights to use Spider-Man. Marvel was involved with the making of the new Spider-Man. So therefore, being involved with that, they are allowed at their discretion to use any intellectual property owned by their parent company. So while Sony can't put, Star Wars references necessarily, and I know that's not true. I'll get back to that back in a second. But even if Sony can't do that, the fact that they're working in conjunction with Marvel, if Marvel says we would like to do this, they have every right to. Now, I'm going to disassemble the need for that argument by saying there's, you know, homage and parody. You're not saying anything from the movie. Like, you could have a little Lego Star Wars, you know, Darth Vader being like, Luke, I am your father. And even though it's actually saying something from the movie, it's not containing footage from the movie. It is making an homage to the movie. And that is covered legally under homage and parody, which is where most of us artists – is a huge loophole that we make a lot of our living through, especially if you any kind of commission-based art.
And usually also the other thing to know about it is that whenever sort of any sort of those reference are made in movies that are not already owned by these companies, usually the movie studios, one movie studio will go to the other, hey, you know, this is a really important thing to the story, and we really want to include this sort of reference.
So it's not permission.
And, you know, and they pop a couple of bucks for it, and they'll be like, okay, it's in there. You know, it's like what, you know, like why, you know, Kevin Smith is able to talk about the Hulk and all that other stuff.
It's gonna be interesting when Ready Player One, when that one comes out, because that has references to movies and other games and all kinds of stuff. Star Wars, you name it, Star Trek. I don't know how they're going to get the license for all of that.
You're allowed to reference it. That's the thing. You don't have to license it unless it's extended. Like, if you want to quote a line from a movie, even down to like, okay, if you want to play an audio excerpt from something, if you keep it under 15 seconds, then you don't necessarily have to pay for the licensing.
Did you read the book or any of that stuff with this one?
Oh, no, I did. Yeah, I absolutely read.
So then you remember there's parts where he has to play out entire scenes of movies. remember, like war games and stuff, and he had to replay everything. That was the whole point of the game, is that he had to get each word, each scene exactly correct, or else he would fail and lose points.
But again, so that would be an homage. If you were to take somebody to court with that, it would be, I am paying tribute to this original movie, which is literally what homage means.
Yeah.
Now, usually when that sort of stuff happens, you'll see a thing inside of there saying, war games, copyright to so-and-so. At the end of those movies and stuff like that. So. The thing is that it might, I think in general, they still need to ask for permission to do these sorts of things. If they're going to mention, hey, I played war games, that usually is not that much. But if it's something very specific, like a whole scene from fucking war games that's recreated, they usually will be like, okay, war games is copyright to blah, blah, blah pictures or something like that.
Yeah, or already trademarked catchphrases or something like that. But here's the other thing. This book is already published. Mm-hmm. So, unless they really faithfully recreate, and the other thing is like, they may recreate a scene that's famous for people, but they may only actually keep the camera in the same place that you see. Like they may start the scene with the camera in the same place, but then they may swing the camera out so that while they're still in the same setting kind of thing, that it doesn't look like the old movie. The key point is you don't want to be able to hold up the new movie and the old movie and say shot for shot, there's 10 minutes that is directly ripped from our movie. It could even be, in the original movie, it's somebody walking down a road with a camera behind their back. And then the new movie, it starts with the camera behind their back and then slowly swings around to pan in on their face kind of thing. Go ahead.
It's also part of the reason why in Terminator Genesis they didn't use the footage. They recreated all the footage from Terminator, the original Terminator film, is because they didn't have the rights to show that stuff. But recreating those sorts of film those scenes slightly different than the originals was perfectly fine.
And I think Ready Player One will have enough. Because Ready Player One is very rapid fire. It's here's a reference, here's a reference, here's a reference, here's a reference. And then where they can't get away with it, I'm sure that they'll be like, oh, it's a popular D&D game. Like, yes, they will probably have to get in contact with who publishes
it. Remember, there were so many of those old Atari games that they referenced, too. It was like, I don't know who owns that.
We reference games all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, not on for sale. I mean, it's not on the big screen. They have to actually play the game.
If they have to show those sorts of games, they actually have to get the rights from the original company.
Yeah, so I think it's going
to
be more.
I'm going to expect that not all of Ready Player One is going to be intact, especially with all the thousands and thousands of pop culture references that are in it.
Well, hold on a second. Now, Ready Player One is already a thing that is put out in public and sold. So if I'm remembering correctly, they reference a lot of stuff and they kind of point to a lot of people, but I don't think that they like specifically call in a lot of trademarked characters.
Other than him driving the DeLorean in the trailer, which is
was the thing. That's his car, and he has a DeLorean.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on because we're getting too deep into the movie now. All right. And the last question here, another new person, New Sunrise. Hello, man.
Day Sunrise.
So his question is, I got a PS4 last Tuesday with Ratchet and Clank and Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy. I've got 28 trophies by now and I'm on level 3. I guess that is great. But what exactly does that do for me? There has to be more than just bragging rights. Otherwise, it seems pointless. Oh, so what does it do, and why should I care?
It gets you hot chicks. Everybody knows that.
It gets you bitches, right?
If you want to be a full-time Sony gamer, you need to be at a certain spot.
You know what I'm saying? Now, here's my question. I wish he could actually answer this. Okay, so are you okay with Xbox achievements then? Because they're kind of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So
they do. They give you some things. Like, I mean, you have to also be part of the mailing list. Don't block them like Tony does. And then when you start beating these games, you start getting emails from these publishers. Some of them actually come with discount codes. Some will give you betas and stuff and early access and behind the scenes stuff for the next gen of that one. Because they're like, hey, you beat this one. You got the platinum. You'll most likely like this one. you know. And I get a lot of these emails, you know. If you turn that stuff off, you're not going to get any of it.
Yeah, but you're right though. Like, you know, if you've gotten platinums in certain games, you do get things. But me personally, I just, you know, I'm a completionist. I've always been that guy. I've been getting 100% of games before these things even existed. I enjoy it. It adds more to the game for me. You know, it's like it gives another extra layer to it. That's why, like, I know Adam, you're kind of similar with me. Like, we don't really do it for bragging rights. We just think it's fun. You know,
it's just fun. I feel like, you know what, the devs put it in there for a reason. You know, and then I love the fact that a lot of them are hard to get, because it was like, all right, well, that means not a lot of people have either bothered or they just can't get it. So let me go for it. Why not?
Yeah, you know, it's
put it in there for a reason.
I don't like the trophies I get 10 million kills online. It's like, come on, man. Fucking, what is this shit? And online trophies in general, hate them, you know. But
did you see, I mean, just because we're talking about the trophies, I don't know if it's going to come up. Fucking Destiny 2, 14 trophies. 14 what?
Trophies, ain't that 14. About a bitch?
We're going to fly through that week one.
You know, I think like one of the hardest ones is probably gonna be beat the raid in the hardest difficulty or some shit.
No, it's optional. There's two different types of ways you could do. You could do that on two different difficulties.
Really?
If you read it more, it says it's like that legendary, whatever, and then there's a secondary one. So you get to pick. But either way, yeah, we're gonna have to be high level. It is a raid.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, for me, it's fun. Like, if you don't like trophies, that's perfectly fine. I understand that. But me, personally, I dig them. It's just a lot of fun. I'm glad we introduced that system. And achievements are good, too, on Xbox. I like those. Only ones I don't like are Steam achievements, because they don't make a noise. I've been talking to Brett Soapbox. He doesn't like them at all. I don't like them because they don't make noise. I want them, like, Steam, something, you know? Something.
Steam achievements can be fucked over if you hack your games.
Well, you know how it is with PC gaming. That stuff's going to happen.
Yeah. Here's a hilarious one, though. The one that takes place in the repeating office. What's the name of that one?
Stanley Parable.
Stanley Parable. There is a Steam achievement if you hack that fucking game.
Wow. That's crazy.
And you change one specific line of code in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they give you a trophy. They give you an achievement for hacking the game.
By the way, every time I hear the crickets, I know Brett wants to say something. So go ahead, Brett.
Steam. Thank you, fellow crickets. Good wingman. Steam actually does a pretty cool thing where they'll send you like little cards, little digital cards for unlocking certain achievements. And if I'm not wrong, and I'm very possibly wrong here. What's that?
You can buy them in auction. I bought a bunch of those.
Yeah, you can buy them. You can sell them. You can trade them, or you can redeem them for rewards, which is what kind of Microsoft had originally talked about way back. For those of you old enough to remember, way back when they first launched Microsoft, there was supposed to be, you know, community created content. You were supposed to get your Microsoft points, and they were actually supposed to be redeemable for stuff instead of being this arbitrary number. And the idea being that you could, you know, spend them on discounts for games, possibly certain free games, aesthetic items, or content created by other players. So, like, if you had a game where you could design a T-shirt in the game, you could design a T-shirt, and upload it, and then, you know, auction it off for your Microsoft points or whatever. So,
those were the days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that never actually even manifested, so I can't even say those were
the promise of those days.
Oh, sorry, Greg, go ahead.
Steam's achievements actually mean something. They actually matter, and you can, I'm pretty sure, use them to get stuff. At the very least, you can auction them off.
If you can hack shit, do they really matter? You know what I mean?
You can make real-world money off of selling these.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So you're kind of cheating, though. You know what I mean? Like, if you're, like, hacking the game to get...
You know, but here's the thing. If you're comparing two things. One, a thing that you legitimately get that has no bearing on your real life. Or two, a thing that you illegitimately get that can produce real-world money. And ask me which one matters more. I'm going to tell you the one that makes money.
Okay, just to be clear, you're the guy who doesn't advocate playing games on PC, you know, like online, because of the hacking and all that bullshit. Just to be clear, that you're okay with one type of hacking, but not the other.
Oh, I didn't say that I'm okay with the hacking. What I am saying is that the premise behind it, hacking set aside, of the idea of you play a lot of games, you unlock these things, and then they're not bound to your account. They don't just sit there and collect dust for nobody to ever see unless they go burying in this submenu of your account. You can actually trade them for things or complete packets and use them for vanity items and things like
the way it's supposed to work, definitely you get something out of it. But again, I just see dudes trying to hack. I'm very much opposed to people hacking achievements. I'm like, dude, that is dirty right there, man.
Dude, I'm more upset with them actually hacking multiplayer games personally. But I've long been an advocate of there should be a Steam Platinum service that basically, and I know a lot of people would, crawl halfway up my ass for this, and I'm actually open to hearing criticism. So those of you in the chat, I'm out smoking right now, but when I come back in, I'd like to hear what you think about this. I would love to see a Steam Platinum section or something like that. Nothing that you have to pay for, but something that you opt in for that scans your files right before you launch any game and refuses to launch the game unless it is an unmodified file or unless it contains a greenlit Steam approved mod. So nothing like injecting aimbots or things like that. It would run to see any processes on your computer that would be running or using these programs. So it wouldn't necessarily be that Steam intrusively forces itself to look at everything. It would be an opt-in service where you would allow yourself to have your computer scanned by Steam in exchange for being put into servers with other people who have also had their systems scanned, and so that you can be put in a cheat-free environment. That way you can have, kind of like the bad servers / good servers in GTA, like you could be relegated to the hellish wastelands of the hacker community, or you can go ahead and say, I've got nothing to hide, let them scan your system, and go ahead and jump into a server. I would be happy to even take two to 5 minutes every time I launch Steam just for it to browse my system and make sure that weren't a thing. And I think that would actually legitimize a lot of PC gaming, especially in the competitive field. And that's one of the main things that is holding back a lot of early access games. I mean, Conan Exiles right now is floundering. Even though the game has a ton of potential, it is being ruined by hackers. I think that would be a really great system to put onto Steam. So I don't think that hacking, I think that's its own discussion, but I feel like it could honestly be easily remedied if we as a community really wanted to do something about it.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, again, to each their own, obviously, but I personally like them. I especially like, out of all the achievement things out there, I especially like Sony's because you get a platinum at the end of it. With Xbox, like, I like getting achievements on Xbox, but the problem is there's no goal you're working towards. Like, there's 1,000 points or whatever per game, but it's like, okay, I get 1,000. What do I get? You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't make it separate. Yeah. That's the thing that always pissed me off. It's like, it's just throwing more numbers into my total. I want something that stands out. Platinum stand out.
Yeah, platinum stand out, levels stand out, like level 28, whatever, I am annoyed at the fact, even though I know home is dead, we were promised that we're going to have a room with our trophies.
Yeah.
None of that shit came out,
So nope.
Come on, man, it's bullshit, but yeah, they're fun, and that's why we always like to talk about trophies here.
For me, I
heard that again.
That's my, I just plugged in my cell phone. Anyway, so I'm not like Tony or even Adam when it comes to the trophy thing. I kind of like to do it on games that I really, really enjoy. So it's usually just, if I can get the trophy, that's good. But my main thing is to get all the, like as Tony used to say, said that he always used to 100% the game. That's always my goal in a game where essentially I've gotten every single item and every single thing inside of there, and then and I beat the game. So like if that means getting a platinum trophy in there, then that's cool.
Yeah, I'm still like that. Like, don't get me wrong, I still enjoy getting trophies up, but my main goal is always getting 100% in the actual game. If I don't get the platinum, but I still get 100% in the actual game, then I finished it and I'm happy. You know what I'm saying?
I think I have the platinum for Assassin's Creed 2, but I think for like the later Assassin's Creed ones, they were a little bit more time consuming. But as long as I got the trophies, all the stuff that the secret suits and all that other good stuff, I was like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it all boils down to that. Like, I like getting 100% in games. I always have. I probably always will, you know, because it's like, if I'm going to buy the game, I need to completely, like, milk it of everything, you know? Adam, you're going
to
say something?
Yeah, if I can't get the platinum in it, I at least try to get 70% because that gives me an A rating, PSN profile. And I like to see my A's. Like, if you, who sent this in? What was his name?
This is what's his? He's a new guy. Hold on, new universe. I think
Go tell him. Just look up PSN profile. It's a great website. You can type in your gamer tag. It'll show you all the games you played because it's linked to the network. It'll show you everything, and it'll show you overall your rating per game. You know, based off of what you completed on the trophies. So I just like to see A's if I can. You know, if I don't get the platinum, then I know I have to get 65% to 70% of the trophies to get that A.
Yeah, so, that's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and it's relatively easy to get 70% in a game, you know? You know? Yeah, man. Oh, by the way, speaking about platinums, the next one I'm going to get is for Hellblade because I only need one more trophy. It's the runes and shit. I'm missing three of them. Ooh, I can't wait, you know?
For Lost Legacy.
Yeah.
I'm planning on crushing now.
Yeah, I'll get to Uncharted on Tuesday. I've been very busy writing shit. So, yeah, Tuesday, and I'll stream that too, people, you know?
I've been playing Hellblade.
Hellblade.
All right, let's go.
That's it, actually. That's the end of the show, man.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so again, you know, contest. Again, we're going to keep doing this, people. We are giving away a free Sonic Mania Collector's Edition for PS4, man. If you want to win this, just subscribe to the channel. Go over to our Twitter at Throwdown Show. Retweet the pinned tweet. And that's it. We'll pick a winner at random, and we'll announce them on episode 149 of Throwdown, which is on September 7th, man. You know?
That is our third anniversary.
Third anniversary
for this incarnation of the Throwdown, which was the one crazy. Of the coalition.
I think
which is amazing to me because it didn't feel like 3 years, but a lot can happen in that time. Yeah,
exactly. You know, technically, if you take everything, Throwdown has been around for 5 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but this version, you know, the new version, the only version now, you know, will, you know, 3 years, man. By the way, SoDep, he was in the comments and he said that, you know, he appreciates what we do and he hopes that we never change. That's the plan, brother. Wow.
You know? Thank you. You know, I mean, again, like when you know Tony created, you know, well, not Tony, but like when it first started, it became like that. Throwdown became what it was today, it was always really about kind of recreating that sort of like conversations that all of us have had over the phone, calling each other. Like, you know, calling Tony, me calling Adam, or Adam calling, you know, me talking to Chris, us being in the same room, like it. The Throwdown is essentially that sort of thing. Brett, you know, and just having everybody else along.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about, you know? That's why we're, you know, it's like we obviously want to introduce new things to make the channel better, but at the same time, that's the core of it right there, right? The conversations, you know? So that's just not going to go away, you know?
If you think about it, we've been talking about video games a lot longer than that. If you guys want to go back and search for something, a little something called Cool Stuff Universe.
Yeah, right? Remember that, Adam, Chris, and Shani, you know, we were doing that shit since 2010.
The skeletons of all of the Throwdown were literally on that sort of that site.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. You know, game, man, that's what it's all about, you know. What the fuck? Brett's always fucking with me. Like, Brett, Brett, what are you saying there? What's going on there? I don't know. I think these guys are having their own private chat in the fucking middle of this shit. I'm like, what's going on there? Throwing me off. You know, something about Pornhub. You guys are talking about that shit afterwards, man. Horny motherfuckers. All right. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us a questions in the comment section of this episode here on YouTube or on The Coalition. We'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Throwdown Show. Links are located down there in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight is joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. Remember, we got the shit that needs a home.
Sonic Boom. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Who knows how long we have to wait for Game of Thrones, man? It's going to take a while.
One year.
That's what they said. But I wonder if the prequels, not the prequels.
Don't derail that motherfucker.
I wonder if this they're going to come out before the final season comes out. Because we'll they've already started filming.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later. Brett Murdoch. Peace, people.
It's been real, party people.
It's been real, everybody. God damn, my mute is always on the most inopportune time.
And Adam Vale, man.
This week coming up, last episode of Lucha Underground for your prayers, because it looked like it might be the last ever. It's so sad. It pisses me off.
Yeah, man. All right, man. We'll see you all on Thursday for episode 148 of Throwdown. Later.
Later, guys. Peace.